Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that we, Lord, as we come into your presence, Lord, your presence minister to us life, strength. Lord, you make the difference in our life. You give us power. You give us confidence. You give us strength. Lord, you give us everything that we have, Lord. And we just worship you and praise you today. We come to your word, Lord. Let your word minister to us. Let us be able to hear and receive what you've done for us, Lord. And to, Lord, make it a reality, Lord, in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we've been looking at the training that God does with each one of us. If you want, the school of the Holy Spirit, a school that provide the input and the direction and the change and empowerment, everything that we need to grow, because we cannot grow spiritually from ourselves. We need his input, his direction, his revelation. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, you know, that they may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may be able to appreciate everything that he has provided for them. Nothing has changed. Things, the same story applies to us, and we have to realize how dependent we are from God's intervention in our life to achieve the transformation that he wants to have for us. And he's the only one that can do it. And I want to share here, you know, how important is in all this and how that is really dependent on our relationship with God, our day-to-day relationship with him, our personal relationship with him. Others cannot do it with us because he's the only one that can do it for us. Praise the Lord. And you know, the scribe asked Jesus, you know, what's the first and most important commandment? It was very clear what he said, and it should be clear for us too. Okay? First commandment is putting first things first. God first. And he said, you know, the first commandment, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And then you have the addition to that. But really, this is the key for everything in our walk, the ability for us to do it. Okay. God's priorities is our relationship with him. His priority is to relate to us. He cares for us. He wants to minister to us. He wants to love us, and he loves us to start with. But he wants to be loved back. We have to understand that. Okay? And to love him, really what it means that we value him more than anything else. That our relationship for us with him is important. Okay. That, you know, this was what God created us for. To love him. Because he didn't need, but he just wanted to show his love and for us to respond to that love. And so, you know, after Adam fell, he established and implemented his plan of salvation and his training program. Plan of salvation is the one bringing us in, organizing everything, putting everything in place for us to have that relationship with him. And then by giving us the Holy Spirit, he enabled us to have a personal relationship with him all the time. That's why he said, you know, it's convenient, it's up to our advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I cannot send the Holy Spirit. And he's there with us and in us. Okay. And so, you know, we had to understand that and we had to learn to respond to that. Okay. Now, you know, we can look in the Bible to see how some people in the Bible related to that. And I think, you know, I want to talk about one in particular. I want to talk about David. David wasn't perfect. Everybody knows that. Are you perfect? Good, you're not fooled, at least. Okay? So that's a good beginning. Okay? The idea is he wasn't perfect. Okay? And no, God knew him before he chose him. Because he knows everything. He foresaw everything that was going to happen. And he still loved David. And still, we're saying just a few things here. We go to, you know, I want to go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is a good psalm that shows how the love of God was operating in David, and how really, you know, important was for David loving God. Okay, so verse 1 says, you know, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And here there is a declaration that David did, okay, concerning the position of the attitude of love that he had toward God. Okay. It shows, you know, in the psalm, the impact of that personal relationship and passionate relationship with God. You see, but, you know, he wasn't perfect. But Lord, the Lord blessed his life enormously. Okay. And God gave him a great mission as well. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, Paul sharing with the gospel with the church, the people in Antioch, said this, 13:22, and when God has removed Saul as king, he raised him up, sent up for them David as king, to whom he also gave a testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And he knew what David was going to do. Who will do all my will. So you see, David, one of the things he did was to understand God and the way God related with him, and to connect with him in a personal way. Okay. So then from this man seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. So you see, he was chosen for one of the biggest things that you can think of. And he wasn't perfect. He knew that. God knows everything about everybody, about, you know, he foresees everything. You know, the plan of salvation was plan B, was plan A, because he knew it before he even created Adam. He knew that David was going to commit adultery and be a murderer before he even started. And he still loved him, and he still chose him to do such an important task. See, that should help us to understand the way God deals even with our own shortcomings and weaknesses. It's not that he doesn't know them, but he is compassionate and full of mercy. And so we have to understand the way David did on how to connect with God even in his own limitations and shortcomings. We're going to see some of that today. Okay. One thing we can learn from this, just at the beginning here, that doesn't matter what mistakes we make, God can help us, and God can empower us, and God will love us, and even use us. Are you following me? Okay. He will not always strive with us. Psalm 103. He is deal with us better, more compassionately than what we deserve. And we had to understand that. And one thing that David did is actually understood that very well. And this is why he loved them so much. Okay. We are going to see some things today that I hope they are going to help you to get into that relationship with God in a deeper way, in a more significant way, so that you can get the benefit that God actually wants to give you. Praise the Lord. You see? Now, let's go at the beginning of Psalm 18 again. You know, says there, this beginning says, the servant of the Lord who addressed the word of the song to the Lord. On the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, what I read before to you, okay, I love you, Lord, O Lord, my strength. See, one of the things that happens when we have the relationship with God, when we have a good relationship with God, when we understand the way it works, is one of the things that impart to us is strength, the ability to fight our battles and to give us victory. But we have to understand the way it functions. You said the same content of Psalm 18 was also in 2 Samuel chapter 22. It's exactly almost verbatim, the whole thing. So if God wants to repeat something twice, that means, you know, you just thought it was important. Okay? Just repetition sometimes we need to do it. So, and as a result of that, the result that he loved him, the result that he was connecting with him, you know, the second verse says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I mean, I don't know what more can be there for you. Okay, he came to that relationship in that connection that was producing that stability in him, that strength, that ability to deal with things that are were contrary to him, and he had lots of things that he had to fight against. But with this understanding, his connection with God, he knew where to go for refuge. You knew where to go to be stabilized. You knew what to do. Okay? And we are going to see a bit more of that. Okay? But I want to start to talk about how David showed his love for God. Okay? There are many, not just in Psalm 18, but many other places shows different things that he did that demonstrate the love. You know, people say, you know, I love the Lord. Yeah, well, let me see it. Okay. And one of the things, for example, that David did was the way he worshiped God. Worship is nothing else than an expression of the love we have for God. Okay. The way we connect with him. And one of the things that they demonstrated, for example, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, okay, that when David was bringing the ark back, you know, into Jerusalem, he just started to worship the Lord, and he just lost it. He just was dancing in before the ark as they were taking him back to the tabernacle, and what did he do? He was completely enthralled. He was exuberant. He was, you know, really, that says, David danced before the Lord with all his might. That's the way they are in 2 Samuel 6:14. And David was wearing a linen ephod. It wasn't really that. So that actually he ended up showing stuff you know, himself. You know, the people could see it. And his wife was the daughter of, you know, Saul, criticized him about that. Said, you know, you just, everybody could see you. And David was really upset with her. And I'm not going to go into that. But really, you know, we can see that he danced before the Lord with all his might, giving everything that he had because he rejoiced. He had showing great joy that he could bring the Ark of the Covenant back into the Jerusalem. So, you know, one of the things that we see that we really love God is the parallel here. If we really love God, we really rejoice to come into his presence. When his presence is going to be there, we are going to be excited. You know, we're not going to fall asleep when we should be worshiping him. Praise the Lord. See, that's what makes a difference. When we actually are aware of his presence and his presence makes a difference for us. Because we care about him. Because we value his presence. Because we value who he is. Because we value what he does in our life. So that's the number one thing. The second manifestation of the love that we have for God is not just when things go so well, but when things don't go so well. Okay? The way he responded when he has sinned. See, he repented. By repentance is a way we show the love for God. If we don't repent, that shows that we really don't love God. Because repenting is nothing else than turning around to please God instead of pleasing ourselves. Are you following me? If we care about him, if he care the way he feels about us, he care about what he wants to see us do, and we don't repent, we have a problem because we really don't care what he feels and what he wants. So repentance is one of the things that, you know, he, and we can see it in him, what took place. Okay, for example, when he committed the sins that I was mentioning before, you know, murder, you know, and everything else that he had done before. And what he did, as soon as wasn't any more influenced or blinded by the wrong thing, and the prophet came there to correct him, he immediately repented. And his repentance was real and was strong. You know, we can see it as is explained in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a good place to see how to repent. There are all these different steps that one has to go through. And I'm not going to go through everything there. I'm just going to read, you know, three verses from there. Psalm 51, verse 2. So wash me through from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. The following grace. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins is always before me. So you see, unless that is resolved, the thing is going to be bothering you and is going to separate you from God. So that's the thing. The only thing that's going to be turned around is when we repent, when we essentially are not feeling sorry because we are caught. That we are sorry because we realize that we have sinned against him. Okay. And this is the thing that makes the difference, the reason why we repent. Okay. Then in verse 10 says, you know, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. See, this is a good place, and there are all the different other areas. I'm not going to be, you know, going through all that for this morning, but this is, you know, a good place to go when we realize we did something wrong. Instead of really doing our own thinking and approaching our own way, the way we are going to deal with it, we can go to somebody that knew exactly very well what to do and it can be an example for us on this different step and the different things that he was focusing on so that the things can be resolved. Because until that is resolved within ourselves, the proper way, that things that we did is going to separate us from God. So you cannot get closer to God if the sin, that sin remains in you. Because God, in God there is no darkness at all. He doesn't have any communion with darkness. And that darkness has to be resolved for us to be able to make that connection. And as that has to come from a decision of our heart to accept his leadership, his, what he has done, and approaching Israel, approaching him the way he requires. So that's the second thing. And then comes the last thing that actually is the most important one, is the one in which we grow into. And that is how he trusted the Lord. See, trust in the Lord, okay, really is an indication that we, okay, trust him because we understand and we accept and we respond to his justice, to his protection, and his provision for us. Okay, trust in the Lord means that we know that he's faithful. And that we can trust him. Sometimes, many times people, you know, say that they trust the Lord, but when it comes to the actual situation, they are really trying to find the solution that they want. That is not the way to connect with him. And what's going to happen is after they're going to be disappointed and they're going to backslide. You see, it's only when you understand that God is not just forgiving and compassionate. He is even just, and he has some requirement and things that have to be in place. And you accept those things, and you recognize his justice, and you accept the way he judges things. Only then you are not going to be disappointed, because you have a realistic understanding and a realistic connection with you, with God, and you don't expect what you shouldn't expect. And that's why people backslide. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, now the trusting in the Lord is not evident when everything goes fine. The trusting of the Lord is evident when you they are going to be through difficulty, through tests, to problems. And, you know, sometimes go through problem is really the time when you realize if you really trust the Lord or not. And when you see that actually the problem doesn't affect you and you trust the Lord even in that situation, see, your faith grows exponentially because you realize where you really are in walking with him. And sometimes only when you go through a test that you can know that is the case. Otherwise, it's just theory. It's just what you thought. But when you find out the truth, then you know that you know that you know that nobody has to come and tell you that you trust the Lord, even if things don't go your way. And sometimes God has to allow those things so that you realize or not where you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to see an example of this, okay? And in a particular case, when Goliath was attacking the army of Israel, and he was defying the army, saying, you know, come and fight with me. And he was much bigger, was a giant, was able, you know, was powerful, and everybody was scared. Nobody would dare to do that. Okay? But David was different. David said, and tick his brothers off because he said, "Who do you think you are? You're a child," and they were there in the army already. And he said, "I'm going to fight him." And, you know, sometimes your faith may appear to be just pride. And that was the reaction of his brothers. But that wasn't the case. The only reason why he said that is because he trusted the Lord. Okay. Here, you know, when Saul heard that, asked for him to go there and to see him. And the way that's what he addressed him, you know, trying to, you know, make him be reasonable. As Paul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to, you know, David didn't say he was the giant, but that's the case. Okay. And what did David, but David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came, he took a lamb out of the flock. And took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when he arose against me, I got it up in his beard and struck it, killed it." So, continuing in verse 36 says, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defiled the armies of the living God." See, that it wasn't just that he was crazy, he had faith that God was going to help him and empower him to do what needed to be done at the time when it's needed. That's what faith is. Praise the Lord. "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine.' And Saul said to him, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" What can you do with somebody like that? I mean, you know, you have to acknowledge the fact that, you know, he has something that you don't have. And Saul evidently didn't have it and wasn't able to do that. See, one of the things that we can learn, another lesson that we can learn from David, okay, you're meditating and remembering your past victories can give you confidence and strength in the present time of hardship. So, meditation on those things is a good thing. You think about the way he dealt with you, God did with you, the way he ministered to you, the way he helped you when you were in a hard time. And so, you know, you keep that to your remembrance and apply to the situation you are now. Okay? That makes all the difference. That produces confidence in you. That makes you able to do the things that he described in this Psalm 18. Hallelujah. Okay. See, this is not the only place it said, but, you know, we have to remember one thing. Okay. He didn't start fighting Goliath. He started fighting the other situation that he was in. He saw the Lord helping him in situation that he had to do, you know, before. And he trusted in him fighting against the bear and the lion. And he said, "I'm going to trust him in this situation that seems so much bigger." Are you following me? So another lesson that we can learn from this, you need, don't try to be get into big battles bigger than you can when you don't have the faith to do them because you're going to be defeated. But take small opportunities for the things that happen to you, the struggle, the battles that you have day to day, to call upon the Lord. Instead of fighting it by yourself when you think you can do it, call upon the Lord and he will help you to overcome. And you get that experience over and over again that he's there for you. that he's helped you many other times before with smaller things, so that when you add up all these things, they end up accumulating and exponentially making grow your trust in you. Trust doesn't come because one day decide, I'm going to trust the person. That's the foolish things. Trust comes when you have tried the person. And you have to try the Lord, because you're not trying the Lord, you're trying yourself. And you see how he's there, helpful, he's faithful to minister to you. Okay. So what they're going, you know, that's what it says in, for example, James, talking about patience. Developing patience in our situation that are difficult is going to, you know, and applying them and trusting in the Lord and allowing the Lord to help you in those situations. This is going to increase your faith and enable you to get, you know, over greater and greater battles. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is a very practical understanding that when you don't start to try to overcome everything, start to do the things that happen to you day by day, trusting the Lord, connecting with the Lord, asking for help, call upon his help, and he will help you in things that, you know, you are going to see his hand working for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, that is where you develop patience. Okay. You know, James 1, 3 and 4 says very clearly, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let them patience make his perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So you see how you develop. Some people give up right away. I can do it. Well, no. You develop the patience to by going to the Lord, getting him to help, you know, allowing it to be there, your support, so that you got victory. And after victory and victory and victory, your faith is going to grow and you're going to be able to stand whatever it is, because you have developed your trust in him, because he's faithful and he can be counted on. Praise the Lord. This is why, you know, verse 3 of Psalm 18 says, I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. See, he had learned that before, more than once. So his trust was there and was based on his experience. His heart was ready for the battle that he got himself into. Hallelujah. And we had to learn to do the same thing. We had to learn to depend on God, on the whole small and the whole problem and the whole little problem that happened day to day, and to see him at work for us, helping us, because he's faithful. That's what the word says. That's what we have to experience. And when we experience that he's faithful, our faith is going to grow and he's going to produce his perfect work. I'm going to lack nothing. We are going to be able to achieve more and more in walking with the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, that is just that, you know, I'm going to remind you something here too. Okay, Psalm 18 verse 3 says, you know, I shall call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I will be saved from my enemies. This is one of those verses that has to do with sowing and reaping, or, you know, cause and effect scriptures. They tell you, you do something, God is going to do something. Okay. And so these are really important scriptures, because they show us what we can expect from God. But if we don't call upon him, if when we have a problem, we try to fix it all the time by ourselves without asking him for direction, you are not going to have any of that experience. You are not, you know, you don't, our walk should be with him. And when we walk with him, we are going to be experiencing that he is faithful and he's trustworthy, and our faith is going to grow, and our love for him is going to go, because each victory, you remember it, and you mark it there, and you keep remembering, and you keep meditating on him, and that is going to increase your faith and your trust in him and your ability to overcome and to ask for more. Amen. If we don't, we will never grow. So, you know, there are plenty of opportunities to grow spiritually. It's not by begging God to give you more faith. It doesn't work because it doesn't do it. It's by you trusting him in small things that you are going to grow to trust him for bigger things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and you will be saved from your enemies, from your struggle, from your problems. And you will love him, God, more because you know that he is faithful and he is there to help you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, that works. That law works in both directions. Works in the positive and in the negative. Works for the blessings and the curses. The more you know, give in to the pressures and they are failed and you get failure, what happens? Your faith is going to go down the drain. The more you trust him and you get victory, and the more your faith is going to grow. So, you know, and this is what really, you know, many places in the Bible, you know, today I put before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life. Or choose life, you know, you choose to believe God. You choose to go to him. You choose to get reaction from him. You choose to take the step that he calls you to do, and you will see that he is going to bless you. Praise the Lord because he is faithful. The word says that. But it's not just the word says that. You had to know that that's the case. All right. So let me just mention something that shows, you know, is a very important step in all this process. Okay. David's attitude, the pot give him, you know, offer himself to do something that was beyond his abilities. Okay? He had that relationship with God, and he was aware of that. He knew his position. If you don't know your position because you have been there and overcome many times, you are not going to be able to overcome. Okay, so here he's saying, in Psalm, we just jump quite a piece there, Psalm 18, verse 23. Okay, so here it says, I was also blameless before him, and I kept from my iniquity. See, here is, you can, you know, in my misinterpret, understand, you know, was he thinking that was blameless before the Lord? And that's not the case. He was blameless before the Lord. The fact that he was blameless doesn't mean he was perfect. The fact that he was blameless meant that he did everything that the Lord told him to do. Okay, that means he was obedient. Blameless is that how he says there, I kept myself from my iniquity. So, you know, what he's talking about, what is the word iniquity there is false, condemnation, disobedience. So he kept himself from disobedience and he kept following God, not because that was going to, you know, produce his salvation, but because he connected, because he trusted God, because he had faith in God, and because you have faith in God, you are going to be obedient to him. When you don't believe in God, you are not going to be obedient, you are going to do whatever you want to do. But when you are obedient, is because, not because you are so powerful in him, because you trust God about the situation you are dealing with. We have to understand that. This is so important. David trusted God that he was good, that he was helpful, that he was faithful, that he was there for him. That's why he was obedient. That's why he kept himself from doing the things he wanted to do that were sinful. Instead, he did the things that God wanted to do that were right because he was following God. And so, practically, what that means, that he was blameless before him, that he was simply obedient. Okay. You know, when you know the difference between Samuel and, not Samuel, between David and Saul. We go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23 and 24. And there it is described very clearly, the basis for that. So Samuel said, "Oh, has the Lord a great delight in the burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than fat and rams." What is telling here? Okay, he's simply telling, you know, that let me read another verse, and then for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So this is the way it happened there. Okay, that God wants obedience, not sacrifices. And when we talk about sacrifices, we're talking about, you know, here is the fat and ram burning and offering sacrifices of that type. I mean, it's not religious activity that God cares about, but wants you to be obedient to what you know he wanted to do. That is what makes the difference. When we rebel, that's the time when we separate ourselves from God. When we know that God wants something and we do it anyway by our decision, that is when we say, you know, rebellion is like sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Okay. And that way is the way we get rejected. That is how Saul got rejected from the position as king. Okay. Here instead, you know, it says here, it's going back to Psalm 18, verse 24, you know, says with the things I said, he said before, you know, I kept from my iniquity. And then verse 24 says, therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to his obedience, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Okay, so here he's talking about not David doing things to be accepted by God, but doing things because he was accepted by God and he cared about doing the things that God wanted. Wasn't that works that he was doing? He was doing good works because God was in him and he had a relationship with God. Okay. So David trusted God in faith, and he knew that God was good, and so that produces the good obedience that he had toward him. And finally, produced the reward that he was describing in Psalm 18. Okay. His righteousness was the way his attitude was relating to God. See, attitude, I often teach that, it's a judgment that is obedience or not, yes or not concerning certain things. And it's, relating to God is when God said something, it was yes. He was really open to be obedient to God. he was not going according to his own ideas. Okay. Now, the way our attitude is the way we judge things. When we judge something positively, then we want to do that thing. When we judge the things negatively, we don't want to do it. Okay. So where is the attitude? Attitude is something in the heart, where our judgments are located, where our attachment, where the things we care about. If we care about God, our attitude toward God is going to be positive. It's not going to be negative. So one of the things that attitude is many things are difficult. Understanding the heart is difficult. But understanding attitude is not difficult. You know exactly where you stand because it's a position you take. If you like somebody, you like somebody and you know you like somebody. If you don't like somebody or something, I don't like to eat that stuff. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Or I don't want to do that. You know, why? Because there is a position in your heart that is very clearly evident in your attitude, in your position, in the decision you're going to make, because the decision is already done before, and your judgment is done before the moment there that you are there. If you are indifferent, that means you haven't made a decision yet. Now, he has talked about our attitude toward God. Verse 25 says, with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. What is telling us? You know, merciful, pure, blameless are fruit of the Spirit, are fruit of righteousness, are not something that are natural for man, are a result of the fruit of the Spirit. So unless they are being already there, planted in you by the Spirit of God, you are not going to be merciful, you are not going to be blameless, you are not going to be pure, because the Lord has not done it. You cannot do it yourself. What they're going to do? Well, God show himself. What he's saying here is not really the fact that show himself to you the way you are. The way you see God is actually a reflection of what you are. This is projecting, it's called. You project out yourself into somebody else. And so you perceive somebody in the way that actually it's you. Okay. What the way you see God is just nothing else than your attitude toward him. Okay. If you trust God, then you are going to obey him. And you see God as merciful, as blameless, as pure, as somebody you can trust. But if you don't trust God, you are not going to obey him because you don't see him as merciful, as blessed, blameless, and as pure. But shrewd, somebody is going to take advantage of you. Are you listening to me? So this makes it really simple to know, because this, the way you are sometimes changes from time to time. And so it makes it really simple to see that your relationship with God at a certain moment. Are you trusting him? And if you trust him, that means that you are in alignment with him, or you are not trusting him, and that shows that you are not in alignment with him. And there is a problem there because God is right. Maybe his judgment are not the same as your judgment, and so there is a conflict, and what you see is the conflict that you have at that moment is the conflict between you and God. So you can see some things that otherwise you're not going to be able to determine because, you know, your judgment are difficult. But when you talk about that, you know if you trust him or not. If you are in the place to be able to connect with him concerning the situation you are in at that particular moment. Are you following what I'm saying? You can see how I can actually apply this to really determine, okay, what's the matter here? What? Why do I not trust him? See, everybody wants to trust God, but when they come to the, you know, the situation, it's a different story. Okay? In theory, everybody wants. In reality, we are able only to the degree that we are already within himself, pure and obedient, merciful toward others, and all this fruit of the Spirit are already within us. The more fruit of the Spirit we are going to be in us, the implication of what I'm saying, the more fruit of the Spirit we are going to be having in us, the more we are going to trust God. And those things are there not because we try to be loving and merciful and everything else. It's because God built it up within ourselves, because those are the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh. Are you following what I'm saying? You see how practical actually this is in helping you to navigate in the situation of your life from time to time when you are facing situation and you are asking me, what am I going to do? Well, if you are not there to be able to trust God, you know, because you haven't been able, you haven't trusting God for smaller things than that. And so start trusting him more in smaller things because you cannot do it out of your own strength. Out of your own strength, you're going to only fool, deceive yourself. Praise the Lord. This is really not the only place that says that. We are running out of time. So we're going to squeeze this in. Forgive me. In James chapter 1, verse 22, says, be doers of the world, not hearing only, deceiving yourself. Okay, so, you know, yeah, doesn't mean be doer of the word. You see, just the word says something, you know, and you say, oh, this is the way I should be. And so, you know, I'm going to claim this for myself. And I'm going to believe that. And you're going to say, oh, this is the way I am. This is foolishness. This is a stupidity of faith confession for the produce deception in you. You are going to fail because you cannot do it yourself. Okay, the scripture says very clearly that if anyone is hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing in his natural face in a mirror, and he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets it. So that's what's happening, and that's what's going to happen when you are not there already. You see, when you, instead of the ability to do, yes, agree with that, you see it there, and is that what the way you are in agreement with that, you're going to naturally going to do those things. So, you know, we had to deal with the issue that separates you from being able to be that way. What's the issue? Obedience to his word. When you obey, it says there, okay? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful, but the doer of the word, this one shall be blessed in all he does. It's not because you are far, you know, because this is, you are there and you can do it and you agree with it and you have dealt with the things that make you stop from obeying. What David said before, because of my righteousness, I've been rewarded. Because I'm obedient, I've been rewarded. When we are obedient to God and God's principles, we are going to always be rewarded because God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Is this the only place that says that? 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment. And his commandment are not burdensome. That means it doesn't bother us to do what God says to do, because we love him and because we know, because in ourselves the judgment are similar to the judgment of God concerning those things that otherwise we want to do, but God doesn't want you to. And the following verse, okay. For you will save the humble people, but bring down the haughty one. You know, the humble people are the ones that submit themselves to the word of God and accept his judgment rather than coming out with their own decision. For you will light my lamp. The Lord, oh God, will enlight my darkness. So that, okay, is give us how that happened. He gives us revelation. He gives us understanding. He gives us the proper judgment that we align ourselves with him. Then it's no problem doing everything that he says, because it's our attitude that determines what we do. If you don't like something, you don't want to do it. But if you like something, I don't need to push you to do it. And with that, today, we finished. Did you get anything today? Okay, praise the Lord. So let's go before the Lord. That, you know, it's not just hearing the word and forgetting it. It's really receiving it and allow the word to change us the way we judge things. Okay, and as we let that happen, the transformation is going to be natural according to the transformation in Romans 12, 1 and 2. The renewal of the mind. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that is a light unto our path. Thank you for guiding us in all truth, in freedom, from your law of liberty that set us free from wrong ideas, wrong judgments, wrong desires, wrong loves, to put you first and allow you to change the way we are so that we may be in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.